is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Amazing Prophecies in the Book of Genesis. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is Johnny Ray Watson with It's Beginning to Rain, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
The turtle dove is singing the sweet songs of the morning. The leaves of the trees send their silvery cups to the sky. The silent clouds above are beginning to gather. The barren land is so thirsty and so am I. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Beginning to rain. Beginning to rain.
The young man's eyes start to shine as he tell of his vision. The old understands what he sees, for they dream their dream. With a thrill of being alive, they reach for each other. And they dance in the rain for the joy of the thing they see. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain. At the first drop of rain that you feel, open your window. Then call all the children together, throw wide the door. When the rain of the Spirit are falling, fill every vessel. For he who drinks his fill will thirst no more. It's beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your
sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
He directly made these creatures. They are sons of God. There are sons and daughters of men, but these were sons of God. What were they? They were the angels. They were fallen angels, in fact. Were they not cast down to earth? Oh, yes. They were cast down. They were known as the watchers, and they began to watch men. And they saw some of the daughters, the women of these races of men that had multiplied on the ace and on the face of the earth, and saw that they were nice looking, good looking. Remember, these were fallen angels, rebellious angels, wicked, diabolical creatures thrown out of heaven with their master, Lucifer. And the interesting thing is, they were not made for marriage. Even Jesus said, the angels in heaven don't take and give in marriage. But these angels, being the despicable creatures they were, had lust in their hearts. And does not Satan inspire and engender lust in the hearts of men, even to this day? And certainly his angels had lust. They lusted for power. And now we have them lusting for the bodies of women. And they didn't look for the women's minds. They didn't say, I like her because she's intelligent. I like her because she's a good person, courageous or whatever. They said, they're good looking. They're fair. And they took whichever ones they wanted. It looked like the men didn't have much of a say about it. They had such power. Were they able to leave these women spellbound with their satanic charms? Were they able to mesmerize the daughters of men? I believe so. Listen to verse 3. It says, and the Lord said, now, first of all, these demon spirits are literally somehow taking women to be their mates. And what does God think about this? And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. That's sort of interesting, but let's go on to the next verse. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Think about that. Those sons of God, those demonic fallen angels, created directly by God, no relations of men, but they took women as they wanted to be their mates, their wives, and guess what? They had children. And by the way, these creatures were giants in the earth. Were they bigger in physical stature? I believe they probably were. It says here, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Now we're going to be talking about the flood that comes in just a moment. The flood from which Noah and his family were the only ones saved. It seems that they were the only ones saved. Yes, they were the only ones saved. But how could it be that after that, there were giants in the earth even after that? Well, because they were of some kind of a different substance than men. And when the flood came, they didn't die. But I suspect their children did. But listen to this. The children of this horrible witch's brew mixture, demon, half human being, their children were mighty men. They were of old, men of renown. They were like heroes. They were powerful. Maybe they had witchcraft powers. Maybe they had the ability to do so many things through their mind, through mind powers and their great intelligence, or maybe even their physical strength that we are unable to do today. We know that even in the days of young David, there was Goliath, a great giant. He was one of the men. Where did he come from, Goliath? And there seemed to be a whole race like him alive at that time, but he was the biggest, the strongest. And it took God's strength for David to bring him down. There were giants in the earth in those days. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to tell you a few secrets here that you may not know about. You see, if you look at all of the pagan philosophies and religions, for example, if you read books like Alexander Hislop's great book, The Two Babylons, but if you study the ancient gods and goddesses of Babylon, of Egypt, of Rome, of Greece, even of far lands of China and down in South America, the Incas and the Aztecs of Mexico and so forth, you will find that they believe their gods to be like men. They had the same passions as men and women, the same emotions, and they were lustful gods. Gods like Poseidon, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Venus, Aphrodite, Hercules, what a strong man he was, and his son Apollo. These were mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. They were the heroes of the ancient mythologies. Were these creatures, these mighty men, these men of renown, these ancient heroes, were they in fact half devils and half human being? Were they the ones that people began to write these fable stories, the mythologies about? Those stories that we can read about today in our so-called history books, the stories of ancient Rome and Greece, of Athens, of Sparta, and even before that, of course, we have all the stories of Babylon, Egypt, even China. Giants, men of renown. Now, in the occult world, even today, they reveal, if you really study the occult and those who are in the deep things of Satan, you will find that they have a kernel of knowledge of great interest to you and me today. I have, my friends, read The Secret Doctrine of Helena Blavatsky, who founded the occult school of theosophy. I have studied Freemasonry and found the kernel of interesting, the nuggets of both truth and lies spread by Freemasonry. If you go back and you study all of the ancient mystery religions of Babylon, Rome, and Greece, the religion of Mithras and of Zoroastrianism of the Persians, you will find that they all had similar stories. And even today, as I said, the Masons, some of the witchcraft sects, and such religions as Scientology that was founded almost in our generation by L. Ron Hubbard, a Satan worshiper, you will find that these religions too, and these secret societies and orders, the OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis, and as I said, the Masonic Lodge, they have similar stories and myths. For example, if you study carefully the Masonic myth, they believe that at one time there was a planet that came close to this earth, a star called Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S. And from this star that was like a burning star in the sky, and it came closer and closer to the earth, from this star came certain extraterrestrials, UFOs. There's a tribe in Africa called the Dagon tribe. And even today they have legends of the Nomo, people with strange, like fish hands. Strange, large, like giants. They came in spaceships, the Dagon tribe of Africa claim. And the spaceships landed in a huge lake, and they came up out of the water like the beast that rises up out of the sea in Revelation 13, verse 1. And they taught men how to build things. They were called the builders, and they were at Babylon, and they taught Nimrod and his wife, Semiramis, the god and goddess or the king and queen of Babylon, how to build the Tower of Babel. And they assured Nimrod, supposedly, these men of renown, these mighty men, that he and the nation of Babylon could be built, and that all of the people of the earth then could rise higher than God into the heavens. Of course, we know that the Tower of Babel was left in confusion by God. When the people were given different languages and could not communicate. And so they left and departed for places around the world and populated the world, becoming separate nations. Were these extraterrestrials at Babylon? Were they the builders that inspired Nimrod? The Scientology sect or religion today, and there are many, even movie stars, I think Kirstie Alley and Tom Cruise and others that are involved in Scientology. The Scientologists teach that at one time there were these beings from another planet that came to Earth, superior to men. They were like the men of renown, God men. And they knew higher forms of technology. And they set the ancient peoples of this earth to building the cities and civilization. And then they left, got back on their planet, their star, and they left. But they're coming back, say the leaders of Scientology. They're coming back again. We were on chapter 6 of Genesis, and I got to verse 4. After the giants and the sons of God, meaning the fallen angels, the demons, actually had relations with the daughters of men who they had taken as their wives, and from them came, I'm sure, very strong individuals, very gifted intellect individuals, but evil men, evil, because they were half devil, half woman. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Boy, man had grown corrupt. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God was sorry that he made the sorry lot of mankind. It had gone so wicked. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. But Noah, and I'm going to jump right on down to verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, first of all, friends, I want you to understand something very carefully. Noah was definitely a just man, or God would not have chosen him to be saved out of all the people on earth, Noah and his family. Just a handful of people saved in the ark that Noah built according to God's commandment and instructions. Why? Well, he was a just man, and I guess there weren't very many of them at that time. He was the only one, and God honored that. It says he was perfect in his generations. I've heard preachers say, oh, he was perfect in every way. Friends, there has never been a person but Jesus perfect in his generations. Now, you have to understand, this is King James English. It doesn't mean in that generation. or in the generations around him. That word means race, race, R-A-C-E, his physical DNA race. He was perfect in terms of his race. That means his blood was not spoiled by being part or half devil. Remember the sons of God, the devils, had relations with the daughters of men? And from them came these children, evil children, seed of evil. But Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. His blood was not tainted. And so, the rest of the earth was, of course, the earth also was corrupt before God, it says in verse 11. And the earth was filled with violence. Well, it sure sounds like a description of today, doesn't it? The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Even Noah was not perfect in his flesh in terms of sin, but in terms of his DNA blood type, he was. But all of us have sin. That's the fleshly sin, the lust of the flesh. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And so he told Noah, build an ark. And Noah did all that God commanded him.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Vital Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.